Well, I'm glad we finally have got this up and running. I really wanted to begin by thanking Chris and Hope for making this possible. It's obviously not easy to get it right, and will take practice, but I think it's really a wonderful thing that we're able to carry on meeting this way and sitting, practicing, and talking together. I know everybody's life has experienced sudden disruptions. And I think that being able to maintain this connection through everything we're all going through was very important. And I look forward to us doing this every week, and we can discuss what more we want to do. And I will also try to arrange individual Dokusan with everyone who wants it by Facebook, so we maintain that continuity as well. Is the for some reason this week, amidst all the bombardment of news about the virus and the stock market and the elections, I found myself particularly fascinated by a story that got posted from the New Republic about Jordan Peterson. I don't know if any of you saw that, but he was a Canadian psychologist, author, who I first heard about when my son was interested in issues of campus free speech versus the curbing of hate speech. And Peterson was one of these conservative speakers barred from campus for having sometimes offensive things to say about gender roles. But he went on to write best-selling self-help books, 12 Rules to Live and things like that, that sold millions of copies. And he was teaching a kind of combination of self-reliance and stoicism and some ways an Aristotelian virtue ethics of trying to build your own character rather than trying to change society. And some of it was not controversial at all. One of his rules was, I believe, if you come upon a stray cat, stop to pet it. So, I mean, he advocated simple acts of attention and kindness, as well as other things that inflamed the discussion. In any case, he had his more than 15 minutes of fame, became quite famous and rich for a while. But then things started befalling him. I gather his wife developed cancer. He developed a host of strange allergic physical symptoms and began having panic attacks. And he developed a dependency on Klonopin in the midst of all this. And got stranger and stranger in what he himself was trying to do to cope with his problems. at one point to deal with his allergies, he was trying to live on an all-meat diet. It was all-meat plus clonopin. Strange kind of diet. But the clonopin dependency got out of hand. He had a terrible time trying to come off of it. And apparently was talked into going to Russia for a strange kind of detox in which they supposedly induced a coma, a 7-day long coma in which he was supposed to be detoxed from the drugs, but from which he emerged with apparently a variety of, you know, neurological damage as a result of the coma. So this article in the New Republic about him just sort of pictured him as a shell of his former self. And I was really struck by what can befall a person, and perhaps particularly a person who has made his name talking about self-reliance and the importance of developing your own resources and character. It is a kind of cautionary tale of hubris, I think, but also a story of basic human vulnerability that sort of anything can befall anyone at any time, which I suppose is why it resonated with me so much this week. Just the sense that everybody was going through something that just suddenly befell us, that whatever picture we had of our stable world could be suddenly upended by something that just comes out of the blue, that no one really had any way to prepare for. That even when you know about such things as pandemics, as an individual, there's very little that you can do to keep your life stable when such a thing befalls the country. And so in one way or another, we just have to go through this. I think what is important for us as a Sangha is that we, as much as possible, go through it together. I think that was sort of the other takeaway I had from this Jordan Peterson story, is that he sort of got more and more wrapped up in these idiosyncratic self-cures. You know, something that is, you know, this weird diet, this weird detox, this thing that sort of is all of, in some way of his own imagination of how to take care of himself. And I suppose that's the kind of thing that happens when social connection and interdependence seems to falter or come apart. That in a way is the dark side of what self-reliance looks like. I think that as we go through all these changes, we each have to arrive at our own dialectic, balancing vulnerability and resilience. how much do we see ourselves as at risk and vulnerable and needing of protection? How much do we count on being able to simply weather things and ride them out, allow ourselves in some way to simply be carried along by the next thing and respond to it as best we can? I think that in general, young people are more able in these situations to simply count on self-reliance, and those of us who are older or high-risk groups need to err on the side of cautious self-protection. But there is no absolute protection, no absolute safety. And in some sense, we all have to simply be willing to allow our lives to be upended, preserving what we can preserve and letting go of what we can't control. And there'll be a lot that we can't control. When there's something like this Sangha and this practice and maintaining connection with one another, I think it's an important area of where we can reassert and reclaim our agency and not feel completely helpless, not feel that we're just being passively swept away by a tide of history, but that how this goes will, to a certain extent and perhaps to a large extent, depend on how we handle ourselves and what resources we put into place to maintain our practice and maintain our connection. And so, while I've decided that it's the prudent thing to do to stop seeing people face to face, I will do my best to see everyone individually online, both in my therapy practice and in the Sangha. And I hope that this kind of virtual sitting will help us maintain a sense of connection with one another, even when we can't be physically present. So I think I'll leave it there for now and open this up to a discussion where we have a chance to share a little bit about what each person is going through and how they're adapting to the situation, and maybe discuss more about what we can do online like this to maintain the Sangha over what I expect will be next couple months.